If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, you'll hear Seth take a closer look at the last 2 days of a news-packed week. First, here's a closer look at Wednesday's impeachment hearings.
Today might have been the most devastating day of the Trump presidency so far. A key witness to the Ukraine scheme provided evidence that there was a quid pro quo and that it was ordered by the president himself. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Today, we heard from Trump's handpicked ambassador to the European Union, a guy named Gordon Sondland. Sondland's testimony was explosive, shocking, and jaw-dropping. And if you don't believe me, let's just fast forward to the moment when, after Democrats finished questioning Sondland, the camera cut over to GOP Congressman Devin Nunes.
That concludes our 45 minutes. I now recognize Mr. Nunes. Oh, okay. Why don't we take a 5 or 10 minute break?
Thank you.
Man, look at his face. He looks like he just walked in on his parents having sex with someone else's parents. There's only two explanations for that face. Either he just heard lengthy testimony detailing a criminal scheme so shocking it could bring down the presidency of Donald Trump, or he sharted and he's trying to remember how far away his backup pants are. Sondland's testimony didn't just go straight to President Trump. It also involved virtually everybody at the highest levels of the administration. Sondland named every name in the book.
Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, Rudy Giuliani, Secretary Pompeo, Brian McCormick, Miss Kenna, Chief of Staff Mulvaney, Rob Blair, Vice President Pence, ASAP Rocky.
He named ASAP Rocky! Sondland name-checked virtually all of Trump's senior aides, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Energy Secretary Rick Perry, Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, and Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani. Even the White House janitor was like, am I gonna go to jail? In short, today we learned yet again that the entire Trump White House is basically one giant criminal conspiracy. This was like the Wizard of Oz of impeachment testimony. You were there, and you were there, and you were there too, Mike. You were the scarecrow. Now, before we get to the rest of today's bombshell testimony, it's important to provide some context for why today was the most shocking day of testimony so far. Throughout this impeachment process, we've been watching the Republican argument morph in real time, which makes sense because Trump always looks like he's morphing. He looks like an anamorph who's halfway between human and bobcat. For example, you'll recall that Trump began by insisting there was no quid pro quo with Ukraine, and that his phone call with the president of Ukraine, in which Trump literally said the words, I would like you to do us a favor, was perfect. But as the impeachment process has proved, it definitely was not perfect. Republicans have changed their argument. For example, yesterday, two credible witnesses who were on Trump's call called it unusual, inappropriate, and improper. And even a Republican witness, a national security official named Tim Morrison, said straight up that Sondland had told him Trump was holding up the aid to Ukraine in exchange for a promise from Ukraine to announce publicly that they were investigating Trump's political rivals.
What did Ambassador Sondland say to tell you that he told Mr. Yermak?
That the Ukrainians would have to have the prosecutor general make a statement with respect to the investigations as a condition of having the aid lifted.
There you go. That's literally a quid pro quo. Republicans actually thought calling this guy as a witness would be a good idea. They thought he would help their case, but he only made it worse. It's like if you murdered a guy and called his ghost as your witness. He's the one who killed me. Damn it, ghost! I thought you were on my side! So after Tuesday's hearings, Republicans decided to change their argument again. A House GOP aide described the change in messaging this way. It has gone from there is no quid pro quo to there's a quid and quo but not a pro to even if there was a quid pro quo, it's not that bad. This is just how things are done. You can say it's bad, but it's not impeachable. My God, look how much their argument has changed. This would be like if you got pulled over and said, I wasn't speeding. Okay, I was speeding. Everyone speeds. I was late for my job. I work at the hospital. So does my wife. And she's having a baby, and I was barely speeding. Fine, I was really speeding. And my wife's not pregnant, and I don't have a wife. And also, I'm drunk on cocaine. Which brings us to today's hearing. Remember, Sondland handpicked by Trump. He's a businessman who donated $1 million to Trump's inaugural committee, and he was a central figure in Ukraine policy. In fact, according to Morrison, officials in the Trump administration even coined a term for Gordon Sondland's role in Ukraine policy.
Among the discussions I had with Dr. Hill were about Ambassador Sondland. I think she might have coined it the Gordon problem.
That's what they called it, the Gordon problem? That sounds like an indie movie about a single guy in his 40s starring Ben Stiller. So today, Sondland had the chance to respond. Again, Sondland, a key middleman between Trump and Ukraine, and he wrote down what was happening in several infamous text messages, and he started out his testimony by stating clearly and unequivocally that everything they did at the direction of the president himself.
Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States. We followed the president's orders. We worked with Mr. Giuliani because the president directed us to do so.
He literally said over and over, the president told us to do this, and I believe it because no one would work with Rudy Giuliani unless they were ordered to. Working with Rudy is like when your mom makes you hang out with her friend's weird son. Why don't you take Rudy to the mall with you? Because he smells like onions and he never stops screaming. After Sondland made clear he carried out the president's orders, he went on to explain specifically that what Rudy Giuliani wanted was definitely a quid pro quo, and that he did it specifically because that's what Trump wanted.
Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Mr. Giuliani demanded that Ukraine make a public statement announcing the investigations of the 2016 election DNC server, and Burisma. Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States, and we knew these investigations were important to the president.
There it is. He just said it. This was a quid pro quo, and it definitely makes sense to me that Rudy was expressing the desires of the president. Rudy looks like the devil on Trump's shoulder, except Trump would never need a devil. You should commit quid pro quo. Way ahead of you, tiny devil. Again, Sondland made clear that Trump had specifically directed his administration, people who actually work for the U.S. government and get paid with your taxpayer dollars, to orchestrate a quid pro quo with Rudy Giuliani, who has no official government role. And Sondland said they were not happy about it.
President Trump directed us to, quote, talk with Rudy. We understood that talk with Rudy meant talk with Mr. Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer. Let me say again, we weren't happy with the president's directive to talk with Rudy.
Of course they weren't happy. No one is happy to talk to Rudy. If you get cornered by Rudy at a party, your only option is to pretend you're choking. And even then, Rudy would only make things worse. I know the Heimlich. Look, I can do it on myself. But this brings us to a crucial point. It wasn't just Trump and Rudy. Sondland made it clear that a number of high-level officials in the Trump White House and some people outside the White House were aware of what was happening as it was happening. Sondland said he had emails to support his account. And again, Sondland specifically used the words quid pro quo.
These emails show that the leadership of the State Department, the National Security Council, and the White House were all informed about the Ukraine efforts. I shared concerns of the potential quid pro quo regarding the security aid with Senator Ron Johnson. We kept the leadership of the State Department and the NSC informed of our activities. And that included communications with Secretary of State Pompeo. They knew what we were doing and why. Everyone was in the loop. Again, everyone was in the loop.
Think about that. He just said everyone was in the loop, which makes clear once again that these guys are the worst criminals in the world. They orchestrated an illicit scheme to pressure a foreign country to interfere in a presidential election, and they basically sent out a staff-wide email CCing everyone. Subject crimes. Hey, all, we're doing crimes. Wanted to make sure you all know about the crimes. If you have questions about the crimes, please email crimes@whitehouse.gov/crimes. Sondland also said... He also said he'd reviewed other State Department documents that had been previously not made public, which must have scared the hell out of Giuliani and Trump.
I've reviewed other State Department documents, some of which are not currently in the public domain, detailing Mr. Giuliani's efforts.
The only part of that sentence that shocks me is they weren't in the public domain. Remember, Giuliani's already done multiple TV interviews where he literally held up his phone and his iPad to show off his communications with Trump officials. I mean, I'm shocked Rudy didn't come sprinting into the hearing with his phone in his hand screaming, "He's right! I missed one! It's right here! I got a selfie of me in Ukraine with a shirt that says, 'I love quid pro quos!'" Sondland also provided damning firsthand accounts of his conversations with Trump himself and had very specific recollections of phone calls he had with the president where he asked him what was going on.
I thought it was a very bad idea to hold that money. I finally called the president. I believe I just asked him an open-ended question, "Mr. Chairman, what do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories and this and that. What do you want?" And it was a very short, abrupt conversation. He was not in a good mood.
That doesn't surprise me. Trump's never in a good mood. He only has two modes. He's either screaming at reporters on the White House lawn or glaring directly into the camera like a burglar caught on a doorbell camera. I mean, look at him. Compare his face to the face Nunes is always making. Nunes looks like a mailman who just saw a Rottweiler, and Trump is the Rottweiler. Now, Sondland had multiple conversations with Trump. For example, you might remember the infamous phone call Sondland had with Trump in which Trump was overheard asking Sondland directly about the investigations he wanted. A State Department official who was with Sondland at the time also testified that he overheard Sondland tell Trump that the president of Ukraine would do anything for him and that he, quote, "loves your ass." And again, Sondland confirmed that he did indeed say that to Trump.
He also testified that you confirmed to President Trump that you were in Ukraine at the time and that President Zelensky, quote, "loves your ass," unquote. Do you recall saying that?
Yeah, it sounds like something I would say. Putting it in Trump speak by saying he loves your ass, he'll do whatever you want, meant that he would really work with us.
Yeah, man, that's the president we got. I mean, the one who likes to know how foreign leaders feel at any given moment about his ass. Show them that picture of me getting on the helicopter. I think it looks really good in that one. Now, today, Trump responded to Sondland's testimony on his way to Texas, confirming that he spoke to Sondland by phone. But at first, his account of that call made no sense whatsoever.
Just a quick comment on what's going on in terms of testimony with Ambassador Sondland. And I just noticed one thing, and I would say that means it's all over. What do you want from Ukraine? He asks me, screaming, "What do you want from Ukraine?" I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories. This is Ambassador Sondland speaking to me. Just happened. To which I turned off the television. "What do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories. What do you want? What do you want?" It was a very short and abrupt conversation that he had with me. They said he was not in a good mood. I'm always in a good mood. I don't know what that is.
First of all, that's the worst audition for a school play I've ever seen. Just so you know, I'm not off book. Second, you're never in a good mood. You're literally screaming right now. You can't scream, "I'm always in a good mood." That's a sentence that refutes itself. It's like a librarian screaming, "Everyone keep your voices down!" Now, Trump went on to quote Sondland's testimony. Sondland said that after months of following the president's explicit orders to carry out the quid pro quo he and Rudy wanted, he called Trump to get a straight answer. Now, to be clear, this call happened after the whistleblower wrote their report and officials expressed concern about what Trump was doing. So Trump suddenly changed his tune, and he told Sondland, never mind, forget about all that quid pro quo stuff.
It was a very short, abrupt conversation. He was not in a good mood. And he just said, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. Something to that effect. This is the final word that I heard from the President of the United States.
So here's my answer. I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. Then he says, this is the final word from the President of the United States.
Yeah, but no, it's not. You already got caught. That doesn't make you sound innocent. That sounds like the way a criminal talks when he thinks his phone is tapped. I want nothing, certainly not a quid pro quo, since that would be illegal, and now I'm off to church because I'm a good boy. But if you're looking for one single image to capture everything that happened today, I'd direct you to this photo of Sondland looking directly into the camera during a break in the hearing. Damn, I mean, he smelt it and dealt it. He looks like he's in the opening credits of The Real Housewives. My name's Gordon. I may not quit or crow, but I'm definitely a pro. Seriously, looks like he just threw a match on a building soaked in gasoline. Today was certainly the most devastating day in the impeachment process so far, and perhaps the most devastating day in the Trump presidency. A key witness to the corrupt quid pro quo said he was following the orders of the president and named several senior officials who also knew about the scheme, and the Republican defense crumbled before our eyes. This is it. If Republicans had any integrity at all, they look at the evidence and tell Trump,
that means it's all over.
This has been A Closer Look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Next up, Seth takes a closer look at this week's Democratic primary debate, as well as Thursday's impeachment hearing.
Last night, 10 candidates faced off in the fifth Democratic debate. From the beginning of the debate, substantive policy issues were at the forefront, and I'm just with you, we're going to talk about impeachment. For more on this, it's time for A Closer Look. This has been an explosive week of testimony in Washington. If you'd like an example of just how shocking and crazy things have been, I'd like to direct you to C-SPAN, the network of empty chairs and sleeping congressmen. C-SPAN is normally a source of calm and consistency, but the tone was a little different today when they were taking calls on impeachment and someone from Florida called in after someone from Alabama and said this.
Howdy. I just want to apologize first and foremost for all the morons on the calls earlier, especially from, Alabama and all that. Secondly, I just want to say impeach the Have a great day.
Thanks, Money, in Florida. That's it for phone calls right now.
Oh, my God. Impeachment's been so crazy, C-SPAN is turning into Howard Stern. So that's just a little glimpse into how crazy Washington's been this week. Now, the actual impeachment hearings have been nothing short of jaw-dropping, with one bombshell after another. The testimony this week has directly tied virtually every senior official in Trump's inner circle to a corrupt quid pro quo, in which the president used hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money appropriated by Congress to solicit a bribe from a foreign country to help him in the 2020 election. That's it. That's the major takeaway I wish everyone would remember. In fact, if I knew how to cross-stitch, I'd get that sewn onto a pillow and sell it in the NBC store. Although the merch in the C-SPAN store is much better. Now, remember, before these hearings, The only line of defense Trump and his allies had, the line they kept repeating over and over and over again, was that there was no quid pro quo with Ukraine.
There's no quid pro quo, no demand, no pressure, no threat.
There's no quid pro quo.
There was no quid pro quo.
There is no quid pro quo.
There is no quid pro quo.
There was no quid pro quo.
There was no quid pro quo.
There was no quid pro quo.
But listen to this. There is no pro quo.
In a way, that's Trump's best defense.
How can I be guilty of something if I can't even remember how to say it?
So there you go. Trump says there was no pro quo, which sounds like something a tourist would say in Europe when one of those dudes comes into the restaurant selling flowers. Scusi? No, no pro quo. But yesterday, that talking point was completely blown up when Trump's handpicked ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, a businessman who donated $1 million to Trump's inaugural committee and who was a central player in the Ukraine scheme, said there was, in fact, a quid pro quo.
Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes.
Man, not only did he answer the key question, he asked it himself. Gordon Sondland was so determined to bring down Trump, he didn't even need anyone else in the room with him. He could have just interviewed himself. Mr. Sondland, was there a quid pro quo? Yes, Mr. Sondland, there was. And that's the tea. So there it is. He settled it definitively once and for all. There was, in fact, a quid pro quo. What could Trump's defense possibly be?
I never said there was no quid pro quo. I said there was
no pro quo.
Totally different.
So everyone in the White House knew what was going on. In fact, Sondland named tons of people, from Trump to Vice President Mike Pence, all the way down the chain.
President Trump, Vice President Pence, Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, Secretary Pompeo, Ambassador Bolton, Chief of Staff Mulvaney, Rudy Giuliani.
My God, it's like he was reading from a phone book of criminals. I guess in this case, it would be called the Very White Pages. So everyone knew what was happening, or as Sondland put it in his testimony yesterday.
Everyone was in the loop. It was no secret.
Of course, this administration has no secrets because every time they do something secret, Rudy Giuliani runs to the nearest TV camera, confesses to everything, and gives us the evidence.
Did our State Department ask you to go on a mission for them?
They did.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did. And you know who I did it at the request of? The State Department. It's all here, right here.
He literally confessed to all of it, then showed us the evidence. Rudy already held his own impeachment inquiry by himself. He's like a guy who sees the cops at his door and breaks down before they ask him a question. Fine, I robbed the bank. Here's the gun I used, and here's the cash. Sir, I am just here to check the meter. So in many ways, we already knew the core facts at the heart of the case, but this week's testimony has made it clear as day. Yes, there was a quid pro quo. Yes, it was ordered by the president. Yes, everyone else knew about it. And yes, it was designed specifically to help Trump win the 2020 election, which is important because the other line of defense Republicans have used was that Trump was just concerned about corruption in Ukraine in general. In fact, Rudy Giuliani, who is reportedly under criminal investigation, repeated that argument yesterday in an interview with Glenn Beck, but I don't think it came out quite the way Rudy intended it.
It's rumored they're investigating me for bribery. I like to know who I bribed. I don't bribe people. I've been doing this for 50 years of my life. I've never had a complaint. I think people understand that I have a very, very great passion for corruption.
No, that didn't come out the way you wanted it to. That you made it sound like corruption is one of your hobbies. That's how someone would describe themselves in their Tinder bio. I have a great passion for swimming, horseback riding, corruption, and pulling the skin all the way back behind my head. You gotta be careful how you phrase stuff, man. Rudy saying he has a great passion for corruption would be like OJ saying, man, I'd kill for a ham sandwich right now. Two people. But obviously, this was not about corruption in general. This was about helping Trump specifically. Yesterday, for example, Sondland admitted in an exchange with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney that the investigations were explicitly designed to benefit Trump, although it took some coaxing to get it out of him.
Who would have benefited from an investigation of the president's political opponents?
I don't want to characterize who would have and who would not have.
I know you don't want to, sir. That's my question. Would you answer it for me?
Restate your question.
Who would benefit from an investigation of the president's political opponent?
Well, presumably the person who asked for the investigation.
Who's that?
If the president asked for the investigation, it would be he.
Well, it's not a hypothetical, is it, sir? Who would benefit from an investigation of the Bidens?
They're two different questions.
I'm just asking you one. Who would benefit from an investigation of the Bidens?
I assume President Trump would benefit.
There we have it, see?
Trump. The answer was Trump. That exchange was excruciating. It was like watching someone else open a pickle jar, and when they finally got it open, the only pickle inside was one with weird hair on it. So you heard Sondland very clearly there. This was all orchestrated to hurt Trump's political rivals and help the president win. And today we got more testimony that confirmed that fact from a State Department official named David Holmes. Holmes was with Sondland in Ukraine when Sondland called Trump to talk about the scheme, and Holmes overheard that conversation. Now, you recall that yesterday Sondland confirmed the account that Holmes had given, an account Holmes repeated today.
I heard Ambassador Sondland greet the president and explain he was calling from Kyiv. I heard President Trump then clarify that Ambassador Sondland was in Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland replied, yes, he was in Ukraine, and went on to state that President Zelensky, quote, loves your ass. I then heard President Trump ask, so he's going to do the investigation. Ambassador Sondland replied that he's going to do it.
He also testified that you confirmed to President Trump that you were in Ukraine at the time and that President Zelensky, quote, loves your ass, unquote. Do you recall saying that?
Yeah, it sounds like something I would say.
That is the face of a man who has no left to give. I mean, yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, that is... Yeah. That sounds like Gordon Sondland. Mind if I crack open a brewski? It's party time. So Holmes overheard Trump ask Sondland about the investigations, and just in case it wasn't absolutely clear what they were talking about, when Sondland got off the phone with Trump, Holmes asked him to clarify, and Sondland confessed to everything on the spot.
After the call ended, Ambassador Sondland remarked that the president was in a bad mood. As Ambassador Sondland stated, it was often the case early in the morning. I then took the opportunity to ask Ambassador Sondland for his candid impression of the president's views on Ukraine. In particular, I asked Ambassador Sondland if it was true that the president did not give an expletive about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland agreed that the president did not give an expletive about Ukraine.
Hey, man, you don't gotta bleep yourself. You can just say it. We're way past bleeping. A porn star went on TV and talked about the president's d- and people are dropping F-bombs on C-SPAN. We are through the looking glass, baby. But then Holmes continued and said that Sondland made it clear to him that all Trump cared about was investigating his political rival, Joe Biden.
Ambassador Sondland agreed that the president did not give an expletive about Ukraine. I asked why not, and Ambassador Sondland stated that the president only cares about big stuff. I noted there was big stuff going on in Ukraine, like a war with Russia. And Ambassador Sondland replied that he meant big stuff that benefits the president, like the Biden investigation that Mr. Giuliani was pushing. I briefed the call in detail to the deputy chief of mission, went away for a week, come back, I refer to the call, and everyone is nodding. Of course that's what's going on. Of course the president is pressing for a Biden investigation before he'll do these things the Ukrainians want. There was nodding agreement. Everyone by that point agreed. It was obvious what the president was pressing for.
It was obvious. This is about the Bidens. Sondland said it himself. In fact, I got Rudy on FaceTime right now. Rudy, did you ask Ukraine to investigate the Bidens?
Of course I did.
Thank you. And if you're wondering how Holmes could have overheard Trump speaking on Sondland's phone, Holmes even did a physical reenactment to show just how loud Trump was yelling.
When the president came on, he sort of winced and held the phone away from his ear like this. And he did that for the first couple exchanges. That's how I was able to hear it.
I definitely believe that's how it happened. That's just how old people talk into phones. They think every phone is like a ham radio during World War II. Hello, is anyone out there? Are you receiving this message? Does he love my ass? So, Rudy was at the center of this, and everything he was doing, he did at the express direction of the president. Everyone knew what was going on, even if they weren't happy about it. In fact, Sondland made that clear in his testimony yesterday, and again today, Holmes and former national security official Fiona Hill made it clear using several colorful metaphors.
President Trump directed us to, quote, talk with Rudy. Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo. Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States.
Ambassador Bolton had looked pained, indicated with body language that there was nothing much that we could do about it. And he then, in the course of that discussion, said that Rudy Giuliani was a hand grenade that was going to blow everyone up.
Someone wondered aloud why Mr. Giuliani was so active in the media with respect to Ukraine. My recollection is that Ambassador Sondland stated, quote, damn it, Rudy. Every time Rudy gets involved, he goes and Fs everything up.
I love that they were all mad at Rudy for going on TV and blabbing about their scheme. They're like guys planning a bank heist going, all right, it's a perfect plan. There's no way we'll get caught. Wait, where's Rudy? Where's Rudy? Oh, no. So Holmes shared his recollections of what he overheard on the phone call with Trump. Trump was on the other end, but he was speaking loudly enough that Holmes could hear him, an account that Sondland himself confirmed yesterday. But still, Trump and his allies remain unconvinced. Trump, for example, insisted this morning that overhearing someone on a phone call was impossible, and he would know because he's tried.
President Trump not buying it on Twitter, explaining, I've been watching people making phone calls my entire life. My hearing is and has been great. Never have I been watching a person making a call which was not on speakerphone and been able to hear or understand the conversation. I even tried, but to no avail.
You are a weird, weird man. What do you mean? You've been watching people make calls your entire life. What do you mean? I'm willing to bet the only reason it didn't work is because when he listens to phone calls, Trump stands right behind you and makes no attempt to hide himself. Oh, excuse me, sir. Do you mind going away? No, I can't go away because I'm listening to your phone call. Here's what we learned this week. There was a corrupt quid pro quo in which the president of the United States solicited a bribe from a foreign country to interfere in the 2020 election, and everyone knew about it. We have the testimony. We have the evidence. That's it. It's an open and shut case. The Republicans have no defense, so all they can do is lie and attack the witnesses. I don't know what they'll do next, but as for the Democrats, it sure looks like they're going to
impeach the.
This has been A Closer Look.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.